But it is a special day in the life of our church because sending out global workers is a part of our vision. It's a part of our strategy to expand the whole idea of multiplying hope. So we're going to be multiplying hope through them in South Asia. It's also a special day for them, of course, and today is a culmination of years of hard work, years of listening to and following Jesus, years of sacrifice, years of wondering if that mission call, that mission burden that God gave you was actually going to be fulfilled and come to a reality. I love these guys heaps. They're an inspiration to me. They're special people, but they're also very ordinary. Just ordinary people. And the question that comes to mind is, what is so special about these ordinary people that God would choose to give them such a high and holy calling? What makes them so special? We're going to look at that in a minute, but furthermore than that is, could God be calling you to do something similar? I mentioned before that sending these guys out is a part of our vision and a part of our strategy. But another part of our strategy in fulfilling our vision is this, to ask this question, who's next? So we're not going to waste any time. You're commissioned, okay? Who's next? That's the question that we're starting to ask now because we believe we should always have another global worker in the pipeline getting ready to go. And the reason that's part of our vision and our strategy is because that's what God has been doing for thousands of years. That's God's plan for getting his message out to the world. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah received a vision that allowed him to see God in all his glory. And when he saw that vision, it humbled him and really wrecked him. And he got to the place of saying, I am undone. I am condemned. I'm doomed. There's no hope for me. But then God graciously said, you're forgiven. And then God asked a question in this vision and said this in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, Isaiah speaking, here I am, send me. God uses those who have had a life-changing encounter with him. Those that have had an encounter with him that made them realize who he is and by extension who they are. Being humbled to go. We see this played out in the New Testament, Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was assembling his dream team of ordinary people. Peter was one of those guys, and Peter later became the leader of the early church. And in Luke 5, we see Peter being called to be a fisher of men. But as we look at that passage, what we see is four characteristics that Peter possessed that made him usable. And I would suggest that these same four characteristics will help us determine who's next. So the question you need to ask while we look at unpacking what it was about Peter, I want you to ask this question, are you next? Luke chapter 5, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. What we see in this first passage, or the first part of Luke chapter 5, is that to answer the question, are you next? You need to ask the question, do you have a servant's heart? Do you have a servant's heart? Peter had a servant's heart. See, Jesus wanted to preach to the people. There's huge crowds were closing in on him, and he assessed that the best place, the best platforms or stage would be out in the water. So he asked Peter, hey, can you take me out in your boat? Now, you need to understand, first of all, if you know anything about Jesus, you know he didn't need the boat, right? He could have just walked out there on the water and done the thing from out there. He was giving Peter an opportunity, a reasonable request, something Peter could readily do. It didn't take any supernatural ability for Peter to take Jesus out into the boat. It only took him being willing to have a servant's heart. Now, we need to also understand, Peter would have been tired. He had been fishing all night. We're going to see that in just a minute. And he would have been exhausted, but yet he still said, yeah, okay, I can do that. That's something I can do. If Peter had not taken that step, that small step of taking Jesus out into the boat, God would not have called him to take bigger steps. God uses people for big things who are obedient in the simple things. Peter and Guinea have been serving here for years. They have tremendous servants' hearts. They've been serving in small and big ways. One of the small ways that I just love about Peter, and it sticks in my mind, I shared it yesterday at their little morning tea, is that when we used to have an evening service before COVID happened and all that, I would come in early in the evening because the place was a wreck. You guys wrecked the place on Sunday mornings anyway, and then the other congregation and stuff. So I'd be cleaning, and Peter would show up, and he would think, hang on a minute, this place needs to be cleaned. He needs to grab a vacuum. So he started showing up a half hour before I did, you know, so he could get onto that. It's a simple, small thing, but it was beautiful. And that stories like that could be repeated over and over again. If we don't say yes to simple things, though, God's not going to use us for greater things. Moving on in the text in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper. Let that sink in for a minute. Go out where it's deeper. And let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. Now, by the way, we're talking about Simon. This verse says Simon. That's Simon Peter. I'm referring to him as Peter. So use those interchangeably if you're unaware of that and thinking, what's the Simon guy? And you're talking about Peter? That's why. But look what Jesus says here. He says, go out where it's deeper. Peter's response, if you say so. When he asked him to go out into the lake and go fishing, Peter was done fishing for the day. He says, I fished all night and didn't catch anything. But Jesus said, now let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Peter knew what he was doing when it came to fishing. He was a professional fisherman. He didn't need Jesus to tell him where to go and when to go. In fact, he would have probably been a bit put off by the idea that Jesus is saying go again, because he knew where the fish would be and when they would be and all that. He expressed his skepticism, didn't expect to catch anything, but he submitted anyway. Peter had a submissive heart. Are you next? Answer the question, do you have a submissive heart? God may ask us to do things that go beyond our intelligent reasoning. We may think that the things he asks are unreasonable. They may not make sense to us. We may not understand. We may think we know a better way. Peter and Guinea, you're about to go deeper. Like Jesus said to Peter, let's go out deeper. You're going deeper. You've done this before in other places, but you're going deeper than you've ever gone before. There's lots of reasons that that doesn't make sense. And we've actually talked about some of those. But that's when God calls us to go deeper and it doesn't make sense. God says, trust me. I know what I'm doing. That's where you need to trust me. So are you next? God wants unreasonable obedience. He wants submissive hearts. Serving here when it doesn't make sense. Giving when it doesn't make sense. Going when it doesn't make sense. In verse 6, this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man. we're going to answer the question, are you next? Then you need to ask the question, do you have a selfless heart? That's what Peter was demonstrating here. He just brought in the catch of a lifetime so big that he needed another boat. He needed his friends to come help him. And he could have been really proud. And he could have said, look at all the fish I just caught. Have you ever seen that many fish before? There have been hugs and high fives all around and fist bumps. And he could have really been proud of himself. Nobody had seen a catch like that. But Peter realized something in that moment. He realized he was in the presence of the Lord. And that made him say, I'm not even worthy to be here in the same boat with you. Leave me. Get away from me. Peter was so humbled by what had just happened. You know, next people don't take credit for what God is doing, but they give him all the glory. Next people are humbled that God would even use them. As we humble ourselves, our dependence on him grows. We understand our, and I'm making up a word here, our unusability. We understand that as our dependence on him grows. And we realize that we can do nothing apart from him. Another question you might ask yourself is, what could God do through you if it wasn't about you? If it didn't matter who got the credit, what could God be willing to do through you? Finally, Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Are you next? You need to answer the question, do you have a surrendered heart? That's what Peter did. He had a surrendered heart. He and his friends, they left their livelihood. Fishing was all that they knew. They had done it all their lives. And it was actually a lucrative business. If you go back and look at the account in Mark, they left the familiar. They left where they had grown up and the things that they knew and where they knew how things worked. They left their family. They left their friends. They left their comfort zone. And they were taking on a new mission, a new task that didn't make sense, that they weren't trained for, they weren't qualified for, and they had no idea how to do. And they left everything and followed him. Next people may need to leave what they know. You may need to leave the familiar, leave what's comfortable. You may need to plan on doing things you've never done before. These guys are planning on doing things they've never done before, whether they realize it or not. Because that is what it takes to follow Jesus. It's a submissive heart, a surrendered heart, a selfless heart, a servant's heart. Many years ago, in the mid-1900s, there was a guy called Jim Elliot. If you've been around church circles or mission circles for a while, you've heard that name. But Jim was a young man who decided that there was a tribe of Indians in Ecuador that needed to hear about Jesus. The gospel had never gone to them. So he went to Ecuador, and over many months, he made inroads through dropping food and supplies and things like that and gifts to the Alca people through his airplane. Then on January 8th, 1956, they thought they were actually going to be able to have great conversation with the men of the Alca tribe. They'd already had some conversations with the women. And as they got there, they landed the plane, and as they were getting ready to go and hopefully have this meeting, out of the bushes in the woods came spears and arrows. And Jim and four of his friends were brutally murdered that day. Many years before, God had prepared Jim for that, because he wrote in his journal something here. Says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. If you can't quite read that, we'll look at it again on another slide. It says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. The rest of that story is that over the next several years, that tribe was reached with the gospel, and it's an amazing story. You just go look it up and read it for yourself for time's sake. But as we wrap up, Not everyone's going to be called to do what Jim Elliot did and be martyred. Not everyone's even going to be called to go to South Asia to serve. But we are all called to be a witness in this world. And God will select some ordinary people from among you to go somewhere else. It's a scary thought. Isaiah again says, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as the messenger to these people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Today, we can say, "See you later," to Peter and Guinea, because they said, "Here am I, send me." Are you next? I really believe there are next people in this room right now. There are next people online right now tuning in. Answer these questions. Do you have a servant's heart? Tick. Is it a tick? Do you have a submissive heart? You'll do some things that are unreasonable, just submit. Can you tick? Do you have a selfless heart? You humble? You're going to give God the credit instead of taking it for yourself? Tick. Do you have a surrendered heart? Don't say, "You know what? I would leave anything and everything. I fully give it to you, whatever you want, Lord." Tick. If you just ticked all four of those, it may not mean you're next. But if you couldn't tick those, it does mean you're not next. But I would submit to you, it's a good start. If you can answer yes, they're going to have lots more questions. How would I do that? What would I do? Where would I go? What about my family? What if I'm not qualified? All those are valid questions, but they're secondary questions. If you can tick these boxes, you might be next. We'd love to have a chat with you if you're next. We have Neil here today from the agency. Pastor D, our mission pastor, would love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you, any of the pastors, to talk about what it would look like to start that journey. And if you don't want to talk today, or if you're online and can't talk to us today, you can go to our website, wherabybaptist.org.au/thinkbeyond, and that'll give you more information about how you can take your next step to figuring out, are you next? Are you next? Are you next? Father, thank you for Peter and Guinea. And thank you, Lord, for those sitting here today who, as this question has been presented, they have sat there wrestling. They have sat there thinking, "Oh, I got this tug on my heart. I got this question in my mind. Am I?" I pray, Lord, that now you would give them the courage to start checking that out. Lord, for those that you have your spirit working on right now, I pray that they would take the next step to figure out if they are next to go. Lord, give us all servants' hearts, submissive hearts, selfless hearts, and surrendered hearts, whether we're next or not, so that we can do your kingdom work here. And then help us be ready to take it beyond if you call us. In Jesus' name, amen.